And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, our Lord gives us the example of fasting. He performs it in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. Our Lord fasts not because he had to. He's God, after all. But he fasts because he desired to give the example to us of fasting and to show it to be of great importance for us to follow after him. Fasting was not a new thing when our Lord did it in the desert. Fasting had been along for a very long time. Fasting is something that we see repeatedly throughout the Old Testament. In fact, fasting has not only been seen before Christ, but then immediately after our Lord. St. Peter is the one who instituted Lent himself to set aside a 40 days of fast for everybody in the church, that they may follow through with what the example that our Lord had given before us, that they may go in that pathway of sacrificing and praying and strengthening their souls. And so while over time we have seen a steadiness of fast, it is the question of why do we fast that we really should clarify in our minds. Why is the question that gives us the motivation beyond just simply because we're supposed to. When you think about Lent, and you look ahead and you see the fast days coming up for the Lenten season, you think to yourself, it's easy to think to ourselves oftentimes that, oh boy, here we go, 40 days of fasting. I have to sort of gear myself up to do it. And it's not something that I want to do or I look forward to do, but something that I have to do. And that is because it's a short-sighted view of fasting. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's at times a little bit difficult. It's not as difficult as it used to be. When our Lord fasted, he didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. When we see the prophets in the Old Testament fast, that's what they mean. They abstained from food. But we have a simple fasting of one main meal and two small collations to go along with it. It's developed over time to be a bit easier, so not only the few can do it, but everybody can participate in fasting. However, with that in mind, we can gain a lot by fasting if we understand the why. The why is really threefold for giving us fasts. Number one, why fast? Fasting is an action that brings us closer to God. It takes our prayers and it elevates them to a higher plane. Praying is the lifting of our hearts, minds, and souls to God, as the Catechism explains to us. Yet now, by fasting, we've joined together with it our bodies. Now, by fasting, we've taken what we do temporarily, meaning that we set aside points in the day to pray, and we've made it a more consistent, prolonged duration throughout the day. It is a constant that is with us. We have those hunger pains. We have that discomfort. We are reminded again and again of offering to God. We're reminded to place our minds and our hearts in that spiritual presence. And so it draws us nearer to God and elevates our prayers closer to him, all while at the same time predispositioning us to be more ready and able and worthy to hear God's answers to our prayers as well, to be inspired and to be enlightened and to be guided by the hand of Almighty God. These things are important, and we are much more likely to know God's will more clearly if we are fasting and praying to gain that knowledge. This drawing nearer to God, this is shown of in the Old Testament when Moses fasted. There he was, climbing up onto Mount Tabor. He needs something important for the Israelites. He goes up there to beg of God what it is to be revealed to him to help guide his people in the way where they need to go. He goes to the mountain alone, 40 days, 40 nights, fasts and prays and doesn't give up. And finally, when it's all together done, God appears to him in the burning bush and speaks to him and instructs him and takes his very finger itself and touches the stone. And with that finger, he engraves the Ten Commandments, the law ingrained on every man's heart. And he hands it to Moses and gives it to him to let everybody know this is what they must follow. This is the basic guide of morality of mankind. Moses only gets the Ten Commandments after the 40 days of fasting. We also see it in Elias. Elias is told to go on a journey. Our Lord helps him out a little bit beforehand as the angel instructs him to take a couple of naps and eat some sweet cakes. But then, once he's got his strength built up, he tells him, now go. Go to Mount Horeb. That's a 40-day journey for you. You will have no food, you will have no water. You will fast and you will pray the entire way to the mountain. And there you will find your answer. Because what was Elias seeking? He was at his wit's end. He didn't know what to do with the Israelites any longer. He continued to work miracles and to intercede on their behalf and to prove to them that Baal is a false god and that the Lord is the one true God. And yet they are still hard of heart and they still worship the idol. And so he travels off 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no rest, till he gets to Mount Horeb, and there our Lord speaks to him. There our Lord instructs him with what is to be done and what is to come and the solution to all of the questions that he's had. Up to this point, Elias was praying for death rather than to try to figure out how to deal with the Jews. And now he knows death is not necessary. Our Lord is in charge of it all. He will take care of it in the end. The second reason why we fast is to make reparation for our past sins, not just our own, mind you, as well. We make reparation for our sins, and that's truly necessary. But look at the world around you. How many more, in addition to us here, are willing to make any kind of reparation for sin? How many are even sorry for sin? How many are even willing to try to fight against committing future sin? How often is our Lord offended by man? It is constant. And so few of us are willing to make that reparation, to make it right. But it doesn't need to take a huge trove to do great good. No, our Lord sees the offering of each and every one of us. It pleases him greatly, and he sees it as a hard prayer, a difficult offering, a true humility, and a giving from our hearts. And he blesses that. This is the fast of the Ninevites. Jonah travels to Nineveh. Well, he dragged his feet a little bit getting there and got eaten by a fish, but that's okay. He eventually gets there. And he eventually delivers the message which he has dreaded to give. He doesn't want to tell them that they are sinners. How often do we realize that in our own lives? When we need to speak up and we need to provide correction and our human respect gets in the way and prevents us from saying so. Jonah was the same. Yet he was a great prophet because eventually he he got to that point to deliver God's message. He arrives in Nineveh and he tells the king, in 40 days, the Lord will destroy your city because you have sinned and sinned gravely, and he is angry at you. And the Ninevites do something impressive. They begin to fast and to pray all together. The king is the leader of the example. He takes off his crown. He hops down from the throne. He heaps up a pile of ash and dust, and he covers himself with it. And he orders everyone alike to be clothed in sackcloth and ashes, that they are to cover their animals and their beasts in sackcloth and ashes as well. And nobody is to touch them. We are all to fast. We are all to pray. We have all offended God. We must repair this harm done. And what happens? God sees that offering of the Ninevites, and the city is spared. He is appeased. He is pleased. A creature recognizes his own folly, and he makes amends for it. This is the second reason why we fast. Thirdly, we fast to strengthen our souls, to strengthen ourselves against temptation. How does this work? We desire the things that we are tempted by. It is a natural appetite that draws us in. As Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, I've never met a temptation that I didn't like. And it's true. We're drawn to temptation because we, in some way, shape, or form, we like it. It gives us pleasure, even if it be momentary. It gives us satisfaction in some way. It gives us comfort. It appeases some sort of natural desire that we have. It is an appetite. And so, to satisfy that, we give in to those temptations. When we fast, we recognize that food, desire for cessation of eating, is an appetite. It is connected in the same way that we are drawn to those temptations. We desire it in the same natural plane, the same natural means. And so if we can take what is legitimate and turn it away, and turn away from it and choose to give it up for a while, as a sacrifice. We do that again and again, and we persevere in that way. Each time we strengthen our souls, make it a little bit stronger. But that way, when what is illicit comes to us, we are stronger and more ready to turn away. If I can turn away from what I have full rights to, and I'm able to take in without any worry to my soul whatsoever, why can't I turn away the thing that I know will cause me harm and death? No, I am stronger now. Like one who has trained for a sporting event, I've built myself up with strength in this spiritual exercise of fasting. This is ultimately the example our Lord gives us today in the gospel. He has fasted for 40 days, and then the devil comes. The devil comes, and he thinks to himself, this man has not eaten. This man has not taken drink. This man is clearly weaker now. I have no idea who he is. I think that some are whispering about him being the Messiah. There are signs there that I recognize him to be that chosen one. But is he for sure? Let me try to find out. Let me tempt him when he is in his weakest state now. Because the devil was proud and it blinded him to what the reality was. He mistook fasting to cause weakness. But in our Lord, he knew that it is by fasting that he found strength. And so with that, he doesn't hesitate in his answers. The devil provides him with one temptation. Right away, our Lord responds to him and pushes him away. A second time, he brings him up to the pinnacle of the temple, and he tells him, stop tempting the Lord thy God. The third time again, he tempts him to adore him, and he casts him out altogether without a second of hesitation. A strength, because he is God, yes, that he always possesses, but a strength illustrated to us by fasting first, that gives him that readiness and that willingness to turn away any and all temptations that come before him. That's our example from our gospel. And it's that, those three whys, that motivate us going into this Lenten season. We've just begun. We are only a handful of days in. We have so much longer to go. Fasting right now is not hard because we've only started to do it for a couple of days and we get a break today. And moreover, we don't think about what the real trial of fasting is. It's that perseverance in it. And so as we look ahead, and you know that it's going to get harder, and you know that you're going to get hungrier, and you know that the appetite is going to grow, and the temptation is going to be stronger, and you're going to have hard days, remind yourself of why. And when you do that, you'll realize that fasting is not something to be dreaded, or something to be done kind of apathetically, or something to be followed just according to the letter of the law so we don't sin. No, fasting is a great opportunity for us to do so much good spiritually and gain so much strength for our souls and to truly bring us nearer to God. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.